Stop. Don't move. I want to talk to you. Yes, you who remain in your hot little rooms, never venturing out beyond your neighborhood. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of the strange and turbulent things that happen in distant lands, in places outside your own ken? For example, are you afraid of the sounds that a South American swamp makes? Yes, a swamp does make noise, you know. A selfish noise. A sucking noise. As if it were anxious to draw you to it and hold you there forever. Or is it the sound of a... the sound of a knife whisking across the room in a squalid house in Baghdad? Or is it the sound of the wind? As it cuts through the snowy Caucasus, kept company by... the single rifle shot of a guerrilla fighter. Now come, tell me. What are you afraid of that keeps you in your hot little room? Oh, you're not afraid at all. It's just that you haven't the time to travel. You haven't the time to become mixed up in some adventure way off in Mesopotamia or Ecuador or even the county jail. Well, I can understand you're not having time, but you don't have to travel, you know, to live through these adventures. For they'll be brought right into your hot little room, your safe little room by means of your radio. So, listen to a familiar voice, a voice you know well, a voice you can trust, while he tells you how you can stand by for adventure. You there, striking a match. I warn you to be careful and keep your eye on the flame. A flame is not flame alone, you know. A flame has a spirit and a personality of its own. It might jump off that matchstick and leap across the room with no good purpose in mind. Did you say that was hard to believe? Well, perhaps. Dr. Juan Avillo can convince you better than I.
¿Cómo están mis amigos? This is Dr. Juan Avillo speaking. I hope you weren't taken aback by that strange introduction. And if I were you, I wouldn't ignore it either. For an unusual thing happened to me, which I will tell you about in this Stand By for Adventure series. The story of the flame spirit. I can even remember it now. I was standing in a jungle clearing with a water hose in my hand. This flame thing that looked like a man was rushing toward me. I played a stream of water on him and he fell to the ground. I kept the water running until every crackling tongue of flame was silenced. And then I rushed to the spot where he fell. I was sure it was a trick, that this flame thing was only a man who was wearing asbestos clothing so that fire would not harm him. I was sure that I would find his flesh and blood body on the grass. But when I came to the spot, he was not there. The flame spirit was flame, and flame alone. And what I saw was only the charred grass, charred where he fell, image of a man. That is one of the many experiences I had and which I shall tell you about. Most of my stories will concern themselves with the occult and the metaphysical, for the worlds beyond our own have always fascinated me. I don't ask you to take my word for all I tell you. I only ask you to remember that I am an educated man. I was educated in Oxford and the Sorbonne. I am cultured, traveled, and, if you will pardon the cliché, sophisticated as well. I am the host of these intimate gatherings of my three friends and myself. We are very good friends, you know, and not young anymore. We enjoy these meetings together, reliving the past, breathing youth into old memories. I always make my friends comfortable. I assure you that you too shall be made comfortable if you care to listen in on our stories. Now, perhaps you should like to hear from Major Gordon. Arnold Moss is standing by to introduce him.
Remember the last night you couldn't sleep? Remember the way you tossed and turned and perspired? Well, Suppose you couldn't sleep for a week, or a month, or a year. Suppose you couldn't sleep forever. Major Gordon knew such a man, so stand by for adventure.
Hello, everyone. Yes, it's true, I knew such a man. A man who couldn't sleep. My experiences as a soldier of fortune and army officer have thrown me into contact with many unusual people. I met this man in question while I was attached to the Chinese army as a liaison officer. And I learned later that he was directly responsible for the death of an arrogant enemy commander who had conquered a territory in which this man lived. Shortly afterwards, this enemy commander began finding poison in his food, snakes under his pillow, time bombs in his closet. No matter where he turned, no matter what he did, he always discovered some clever device to take his life. A dozen times a day, he narrowly escaped death. In despair, he once shouted, "What sort of a man is this that haunts me? How does he get the time to plan these fiendish schemes? He must never sleep." How true. His adversary never slept. In a duel between a normal man and one who doesn't sleep, what chance has the normal man? The man who doesn't sleep has so much time. Well, that is one of many stories I shall tell you in this Stand By for Adventure series. Stories of armies in the field and heroic civilians who fought side by side with their soldiers for liberty and security. But now I think I ought to relinquish this microphone to Arnold Moss, who will introduce Mr. Richard Moore.
Take a man, an old man, and place him in a cell. Lock the door tightly behind him. Make sure the iron door is bolted. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, that the sickly old man could do no one any harm. He looks powerless behind those bars. But don't fool yourself. Someone will die before morning. Richard Moore knows more about it than I, so stand by for adventure.
This is Richard Moore speaking. I offered a pretty full career as a newspaper man. I guess my press pass has been more a ticket to adventure than anything else. But the funny thing is, no matter where my syndicate sends me, I invariably get mixed up in a murder. Now, don't get the wrong idea there. I mean, I don't commit murders. I just stumble over murderers, like the case just presented. You see, they had locked this old man in his cell after a futile attempt to question him. He was already suspected of one murder. In an effort to learn something, a police officer posed as a criminal and was locked up in the same cell. The old man did not move from his bunk all night, yet morning found the police officer dead, poisoned. They searched the old man, but to no avail. He had been carefully examined before he entered the cell, too. Then I volunteered to spend the night in the cell. I had an idea, and my hunch was correct. In the middle of the night, I was awakened by the patter of tiny feet. But I tell the complete story in the program called Death is My Cellmate. So, there's no point telling it to you now. Well, I guess I've hogged this stage long enough. I'm sure you'll want to hear what Captain Quigley has to say. As usual, Arnold Moss does the honors in his own inimitable way.
What sort of noise does a sea monster make? No, that's a boat. No, that's a train. Of course not. Anyone would know that that's an automobile horn. I guess none of us has quite the imagination of Captain Quigley, so we'll just have to be patient and stand by for adventure.
Now, listen here, young fella. If you're insinuating that my imagination is a mite too strong, let it pass. Hello, folks. This is Captain Quigley talking. No other. Now, I'm just as skeptical a man as any afloat or on land. And I don't believe things easy myself. But there's no sense avoiding the issue. I really did see that sea monster. Lady monster it was, on account of no whiskers on her face. And I'll tell you something else, too, about that monster that would be hard to believe. That is, if I hadn't seen it myself. That sea monster was cultured. Yes, sir. Cultured. Now, I don't suppose they have colleges for sea monsters, but this one could read. Yeah. First she read over my shoulder. But that wasn't so comfortable, so I propped up the paper on a rag so as I could read one side and she the other. Particular sea monster she was, too. Didn't want to read the jokes, only the editorials. Do I hear somebody raising any doubts? Well, I can't blame you if you are. I'm only giving half the story, mind you. When you hear all of it, you'll realize how true it is. I'll be able to convince you in just the time it'll take to tell the story of the cultured monster. And that ain't the only story I'll tell either. I once had a very unusual boat. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but this boat would never react properly to having her machinery oiled unless the oil had a vegetable base. You see, the boat was a vegetarian. Well, I could go on this way all day, but I guess it's time to say goodbye now. So here's that skeptical young fellow again.
And that's a thumbnail radio sketch of all four friends. There is
Dr. Juan Arillo,
famous South American scientist and philosopher, and
Major Gordon,
retired army officer and soldier of fortune, and
Richard Moore,
correspondent adventurer, and finally
Captain Quigley,
merchant mariner, who sailed the seven seas. These four friends meet often at the home of Dr. Juan Arillo. When they meet again and talk again, they invite you to listen in and stand by for adventure.